AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Mike Petriello writes for MLB.com, does his own StatCast podcast, part of that very interesting alternative telecast, one of the ESPN games during the postseason. Mike, it's Charlie. Good to meet you, so to speak. And let me ask you on this, and just framing this year's Red Sox, 108 wins, that after going on cruise control in September, ripped through the postseason. Is there any compelling argument against the Red Sox as the best team, the best overall season since the 98 Yankees?
I can't say that there is one. And it's not just the 108 wins, obviously. It's also who they beat in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? You look at these really talented teams. They went through the Yankees, and they went through the Astros, and they went through the Dodgers, and they kind of made it look all easy. You know, so I look at that team, and it's obviously a championship that was well-deserved. I think there's no fluke here, and it's difficult to find a more dominant team going back, you know, probably to those 98 Yankees. Unfortunately, those 2001 Mariners couldn't, you know, finish the deal, so they don't really count right now. Maybe an argument for the 2016 Cubs, because they were really, really good aside from breaking the curse. But, you know, really, if you're even in this conversation, you've had a phenomenal season.
No doubt. All right, one other side item I wanted to hit that amused me. Right, I think generally speaking, you can try to have intelligence carry the day. Analytics nerds need not defend themselves. We can card carry proudly. But any idea that, oh, the players should vote the awards, you know, they play the game. The Players' Choice Awards are out, the finalists, the nominees. And the American League, three most outstanding players. MVP, no, this is just who are the best players? And the three finalists, Mookie Betts, okay. J.D. Martinez and Jose Ramirez. Anyone patently obvious seem to be missing there?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering where Mike Trout is on that list.
I mean, come on!
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to me. I mean, I hear this argument a lot that we should let the players vote on these things because they know, you know, better because they play the game. And I'm reminded of a couple years ago, like Clayton Kershaw didn't make the All-Star game via the players' vote. You know, he had to be added on later through the manager, the fans, or whatever. I think the players, you know, a lot of them are really, really intelligent about the game, but not necessarily their strength because they look at some of these guys like, you know, J.D. Martinez, who, let's be honest, was like a top five hitter in baseball this year. He's fantastic. But he's also a DH. He's not playing an elite center field like Mike Trout is, and didn't even hit as well as Mike Trout did. So it's really, it was crazy to me, and I saw that as well, and I kind of fell off my chair when I saw it. There's a shocking outcome there.
Yeah, and it's not a homer thing to point out that Jose Ramirez went into a coma in mid-August, and you could sub Alex Bregman for Jose Ramirez quite arguably. So, hey, players, you got one out of three right, so pipe down on you media know-nothings who never played the game. All right, let's get to a couple of Astros-oriented things. You wrote a very interesting column, I guess about a couple weeks ago now, framing Marwin Gonzalez as he heads to free agency. The Astros with three prominent players, Charlie Morton, Dallas Keuchel, Marwin Gonzalez. Can you flesh out a little bit, Mike, what you put forth on Marwin and then weigh in on the would you not tender the $17.9 million?
Yeah, Marwin Gonzalez is a really interesting player. He is reaching free agency at probably the most prosperous time for him in baseball history, because if you look at the way the game is played right now, everybody's got a million relievers and everybody's got kind of a short bench, you know, so you really need guys who have this positional versatility. This is why you don't see these pinch hitter guys on the bench anymore. There's just not room for them anymore. And if you look at each of the final four teams who made it to the League Championship Series, they each had a guy like this. You know, the Dodgers had Kike Hernandez, and the Brewers had Hernan Perez, and the Red Sox had Brock Holt, and the Astros had Marwin Gonzalez. And now it's been, I think, two seasons in a row now. Not only has he played five or six spots and played them well, he's also been an above-average hitter. I know he had a slow start this year, but he really hit a lot better in the second half. And if you look at his numbers combined, 2017 and 2018, he's hit as well as Manny Machado. Now, I want to be totally clear on this. I don't think he's as good of a hitter as Manny Machado, certainly not. But my point is that if you can get a guy like this who can play a million different spots, hit with an above-average bat, that's a really valuable guy. And if you look at pretty much any team in the National League, except for maybe the Dodgers, you can see a fit here. Like, you could see the Mets killing for a guy like this, or even the Cubs. And I think he's going to do really well. I don't think he's going to get the qualifying offer. I think if I'm the Astros, I'd probably take the risk. I think he'd turn it down because this is his only shot to get a big free agent deal. And if he doesn't, well, then you get a good player back for 1 year, and they can certainly afford the $17
million. Mike, Ben Zobrist was older when he hit free agency, but had been better for more years than Marwin, who gets to free agency at 30. But you alluded to two seasons, right? There's not just one total fluke season, though that was certainly at a much, much higher level than anything he's ever done or is likely to do. But as you project him, you think Marwin's marketplace could go 4 years over $50 million?
I think if he doesn't get the qualifying offer, that would certainly help him because, you know, teams, as we saw last winter, generally don't want to have to give up the compensation pick unless it's for an elite free agent. I don't know that he's going to get more than $50 million. I think that feels like a lot for a guy, as you just said, who doesn't have the same track record, you know, his first couple years in the bigs weren't necessarily successful hitting-wise. I think part of that's not his fault because he was a Rule 5 pick on some very bad Astros teams and he probably didn't belong in the big leagues at that point.
Sure.
So I don't put too much emphasis on that. But, you know, you're right. Ben Zobrist had been an above-average hitter and an all-star for many years with Tampa Bay, obviously Kansas City and Oakland as well. So I do think Marwin Gonzalez is going to get a multi-year deal. 3 or 4 years, not out of the question. I have a hard time after
3 years,
what we saw 36? Last winter to go over $50 million seems like a lot.
Yeah, 3 years, 36, maybe something along those lines?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. It's so hard to project. We saw what happened last winter where Mike Moustakas got like $6 million, you know? So it's really going to be interesting. We know Harper's going to get paid. We know Machado's going to get paid. We know Pat Corbin's going to get paid, right? Beyond that, I'm fascinated to see how this free agent market goes for a lot of these guys, and that includes Gonzalez.
A dart at the board. At what level do you think Dallas Keuchel gets paid?
Probably less than he wants. I know he's got this reputation as an ace because, you know, he had the Cy Young season. This was not one of his better seasons this year. His strikeout rate was down and his ground ball rate was down. And those are two pretty important things for a guy who, you know, obviously doesn't throw 98 miles an hour. I think he's going to get a good deal, but he's not going to get an earth shattering deal. I think he'll get, let's say, 4 years and I don't know, something like $70-ish million, and certainly that's nothing to sneeze at, but I don't think he's going to be out there, you know, topping $100 million, and I think he's definitely going to get less than Patrick Corbin is.
Charlie Morton's 35. He faded in the second half, then arm trouble. Of course, he's been on the disabled list 7 years in a row. I think he'd frankly jump at 1 year, $17.9 million, because he may be thinking year to year with his career. Conjecture as to the Morton marketplace, I don't know that the Astros are going to take the risk that he'd take 17.9 from them.
I think you're probably right that if he had the offer, he would accept it because that would be a big raise over anything he's had before. You know, from what I understand, he's very comfortable in Houston, and there might be a limited number of places he would actually want to go play. But since he has been successful the last couple of years, he has a multi-year deal out there if he wants it. He's certainly not going to get the $17, $18 million per year on a multi-year deal. So if the Astros offered it, which I don't think they will, I think he would take it. And I think he's probably going to sign somewhere for, you know, let's say, 2 years and 25 or so million. And it certainly could be back with the Astros. There's also rumors he wants to go closer to his wife's family in Delaware. You could easily see him going back to Philadelphia, who could definitely use a pitcher like him.
Talking with Mike Petriello, MLB.com. All right, the land of the hypothetical we journey to, Mike. The Astros have a fascinating array of decisions in terms of payroll. 2019, they're actually in good shape, but boy, it's going to get real expensive going forward when Altuve's deal jumps forward and Verlander and Cole are both free agents after next year and escalating arbitration salaries and so on and so forth. But this offseason, if they intend to be aggressive to try to squeeze every drop of juice out of this era of Astros baseball, if the trade terms were palatable, would you rather go for JT Realmuto and dramatically upgrade the Astros behind the plate, player controlled for 2 years, or dramatically upgrade over Yuli Gurriel and anyone else who plays first base, making a run to Paul Goldschmidt, who would be a hometown guy, but in his walk year?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, Drew. I like that one a lot. I think I'm going to go with Realmuto. And I think, you know, he's, I believe, from Oklahoma, so he's close enough to being hometown. And the reason I say that is because, you know, the upgrade behind the plate is bigger than it is at first base. I don't trust any of the Astros catchers that they have under contract next year to be a starter, whereas you can get by with Gurriel or Tyler White if you need to for another year at first base. And also you get Realmuto for 2 years, whereas Goldschmidt is only under contract for one more year. If you really want to upgrade at first base, you could also try to go get a Jose Abreu or, you know, Justin Bour out of Philadelphia or someone like that. I think Realmuto, I'm actually writing about this today, is going to be an incredibly in-demand player on the trade market if the Marlins actually want to trade him. And it's not just because he's the best catcher in baseball, although I believe he is. It's because the state of catching right now in baseball, at least on the hitting side, is so, so weak. I actually looked this up this morning. In the last 100 seasons, catchers this last year had the fourth weakest offensive performance, which is insane if you think about it. Maybe it's cyclical. You know, maybe it's because some of the older guys like Posey and Yadi Molina and Luke Roy and McCann are aging out and the next generation isn't here yet. But I also just think it's so hard to be a catcher right now. You know, we talk about velocity and curveballs and bullpenning, how hard that is for hitters. I think it's hard on catchers too. So it's hard to do that and also focus on hitting. So when you have a guy who's an all-around great catcher like Realmuto is, he's going to be in demand. But as far as your question goes, I would absolutely want the Astros to go for Realmuto. He'd be my number one trade target this year.
A couple of other things before I let you go. Let's just say the Marlins opt to hold JT hostage or someone else trumps any Astros offer. I know if you judge him off of his postseason, you wouldn't touch Yasmani Grandal with a 100-foot pole. But among Grandal, Wilson Ramos, Kurt Suzuki, older. But when you factor in probable price points, if you're the Astros, where might you lean behind the plate?
Yeah, I think you're totally right, by the way. I know Grandal got a pretty bad reputation in October, but I think that's kind of a fluke. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball behind the plate for the last couple of years, and obviously a great pitch framer. So I think there's definitely a case to be made for him. I really like Wilson Ramos, though. I was surprised he didn't have more of a market when Tampa Bay traded him. I know he was hurt at the time, obviously. He's a really, really good hitter. I think I put probably the three best hitters in baseball right now among catchers are probably these three guys, Realmuto, Grandal, and Ramos. And he will also be the easiest to acquire. I don't think he's going to get, you know, a huge 4 or 5 year deal or anything like that. So I think if you want to get him and then also do some other things, that would be great. But if you're going to go for a big ticket guy behind the plate, then just Grandal would be fine too. But you're probably right. This is the number one place for the Astros to upgrade this winter.
All right. Lastly, just for fun, what will be the largest contract figure signed? Take a ballpark stab at it. And for whom and where?
Oh, that's a fun question. Well, it's clearly going to be either Machado or Harper. With an enormous caveat, we all know that whatever deals these two guys are going to sign are going to have like six different opt-outs in it, right? So that's really going to affect the total valuation of the deal. I still think Harper is going to get the most money. I think, you know, people look at his batting average from last year and say, oh, that was disappointing. But if you look a little deeper, he had a really fantastic second half. He was crushing the ball. And I don't know, I think Machado's behavior in October maybe turned off some teams, but really all it takes is one team to pay him. So I think they're both going to get paid. I think Harper's going to get paid more.
It's north really, of a quarter billion?
North of a quarter, yes. I think he's going to get, I'm just going to go totally on a limb here. Let's say 9 years, $300 million from the Cubs. I think that'll be fun.
There we go. Mike Petriello, MLB.com. Hey, appreciate the first time visit, the time, the insight, and here's to a second time, not too far down the road.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Mike, thank you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.